Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Democrats love tracking you and fighting misinformation as they deem it to be. Even if that misinformation was, say, about, Joe Biden's mental fitness. Welcome back to the show, our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. What a show today. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it very, very much. Obviously, Kamala Harris continues to dodge any questions or sit-downs with the media, and her rallies are nothing more than campaign events. Concerts. They're concert events, I should say, not campaign events. They're concert events. I'll get to that, all of that with you. But I want to begin with this Cambridge Analytica whistleblower who came out, these whistleblowers who talk about how everybody was tracked and how they were able to use this online platform to essentially now target folks in real time as they were exposed to quote unquote disinformation. All right. So imagine these people in power, what they would do. And there's a lot of what they would do. And it's terrifying. Quite frankly, it's terrifying because they love the idea of tracking all of us. And you know, Tim Walz, and I played you the clip yesterday. Tim Walz was out there saying, hey, listen, if you say misinformation, hate speech that's not protected by the First Amendment. Remember that. Not protected speech. So Democrats go all in on the battle over what they consider to be controlling information. And if they have it their way, they would not only shut it down, they would probably fine people and jail people for spreading what they deem to be misinformation. So, you know, it's fine if you burn down a city, you riot, you loot, that's all good. But if you say something that they don't like, well, now you've crossed the line. Now you've really engaged in something. Here's Rob Flaherty, one of the DNC hacks who was part of this. Take a listen.
We brought Becca on to sort of think through, okay, now that we have these misinformation narratives, what do we actually do? it is one thing to know that there is a lot of conversation online about corruption or you know, mental fitness or any of these things, you know, the vice president's record on the crime bill, which, you know, was sort of a controversial piece of legislation in the early 90s. But it was another to go, okay, now what?
Misinformation about mental fitness. Misinformation about mental fitness. So who's Becca, by the way? What did Becca do? Her name is Becca Reinkovich. And this is what she would do with misinformation.
We targeted folks based on online behavioral cues, building out personas based on the type of content they were consuming, what they were searching, the kinds of websites they were visiting, so that we could target folks in real time as they were exposed to that disinformation.
As they were exposed to what exactly? What? They would detect, they would track, and censor whatever they deemed to be misinformation. These are scary authoritarians, these people. They really are. And they love tracking you and knowing everything you're saying. And this is why I've said over and over again, say no to age verification stuff, man, because your identity will be known to them. There's no way to get around that fact. There's no way to get around that fact.
You know, one of the smartest things that I think the party did itself was over the last couple of years, they actually invested in a team that Tim runs, and you'll hear from Tim, to detect and track misinformation and misinformation narratives in the sort of various corners of the internet, and then actually go out and flag it to platforms as a violation of their policy. That work, I mean, the stuff that they did was a critical asset. That piece of infrastructure, I think, was one of the more important decisions that was made in sort of the party space over the last couple of years.
You see, when you were put in Facebook jail or Twitter jail back then, this is how you ended up that way. You probably always wondered that, right? How did I end up in Facebook jail? How was I locked out of my account? How is it that I was shadow banned? You know, when Matt Taibbi came forward and Schellenberger and they all exposed the Twitter files on the disinformation, how the government deemed things to be disinformation and how people were deplatformed or shadow banned a lot of it we always thought was just simply a matter of the platforms doing it themselves. But actually what also was happening at the same time was the government was flagging people and then the DNC was also doing it too. So any misinformation that was put out there about Biden's mental fitness or his corruption, like the story that I talked about earlier about Hunter Biden and the oligarch and everything else, anything around Biden's corruption, all the stuff, they targeted you. Then they would work with the platforms to get that content taken down under the guise that it was misinformation. And it wasn't that it was misinformation. It was unhelpful to their campaign goals. It was unhelpful to getting Biden elected president. It wasn't misinformation. This is why, you know, when guys like Waltz come out and say we should be able to punish people for misinformation, it's because they want the power to decide if you're putting out narratives that undermines their ability to be in power. They want to be able to call it misinformation or hate speech or whatever else and then have it taken down because it's a direct threat to their ability to remain in power and control everything. Here's another one of these whistleblowers, Christopher Wiley here.
Essentially, the pitch was that we were going to combine micro-targeting, which had existed in politics, which was, you know, in part my background, but bring on boards new constructs from psychology so that we wouldn't just be targeting you as a voter, we'd be targeting you as a personality.
We targeted folks based on online behavioral cues, building out personas.
Targeting you as a personality.
Personas based on the type of content they were consuming, what they were searching, the kinds of websites they were visiting.
We could build a psychological profile of each voter in a particular region.
We built out different personas for the different parts of our key audiences, both persuadable and our supporters, and then targeted them with custom campaigns.
So you've harvested my data and then you've used that to target me in ways that I can't see and that I don't understand.
Yeah, so we would know what kinds of messaging you would be susceptible to, including the framing of it, the topics, the content, the tone, whether it's scary or not, that kind of thing. So what you would be susceptible to and where you're going to consume that. And then how many times do we need to touch you with that in order to change how you think about something?
So as part of that was, if you thought Biden lost his freaking mind or Biden was corrupt or anything else, they would deem that to be misinformation. And then they would go after you. And in some cases, if they had to, they'd get you deplatformed or get the people who are feeding that information to you deplatformed so that you would not be veered away from believing the lie that Joe Biden was a kind old man in the basement keeping you safe from mean tweets and COVID. Got it? Here's a little more of that Becca Rinkovich.
We saw a huge amount of volume and a lot of impact on narratives like Joe Biden was being manipulated by the radical left and disinformation around his mental acuity.
How is that disinformation around his mental acuity? See, this is what I mean. And so the people that are in power want to control information, control the narrative so that they can control you. That's what it's about for them. That's what it's all about. It is about controlling information and controlling you so that you don't get in the way of their goals being, of course, to have absolute power and absolute domination over everything. And let's just call it what it is. You know, if you're out there being told constantly that what you see about Joe Biden is a cheap fake and you don't believe that, and there are people who are putting information out there showing you that it's not a cheap fake, they need to target those people and get that information taken down so they can continue to run with the lie. The Ministry of Truth can't survive if people are able to put up false narratives. Excuse me, what the Ministry of Truth deems to be a false narrative. In other words, what we know to be the truth. So they work with big tech. And this is why I talk about the unholy triad all the time of the government, big tech, and corporate media. They work with them. They work with these entities to shut people down so that you can't get in the way and you can't have any issues where you're turning around and you're being a pain in the neck. And you're hurting them with what their goals are, which is to advance their own power. Of course, one of those people, as we know, is Asanto Fauci. Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law, of course. Fauci is one of the key guys who was out there spreading disinformation and misinformation. And, you know, Fauci was asked the question, is he concerned that Trump would prosecute him? He can't understand for what. Oh, I don't know. How about for lying to the American people about gain-of-function research? How about lying to Congress about gain-of-function research? How about perhaps hiding from the Freedom of Information Act? Using your personal Gmail, you and your little buddies like Francis Collins and all the other people and the guys from EcoHealth Alliance, Peter Daszak, to evade federal law. How about all those things, for example? Here he is with Cassie Hunt on MSNBC. Prosecute me. Prosecute me for what?
Dr. Fauci, one of the things you write about in your book is the relationship, the fraught relationship that you had with Donald Trump when he was president. And I know you've also dealt with the fallout of the politicization of everything that you dealt with, in that you have to have security because there have been so many threats against you and against your family. We're now facing the prospect that Donald Trump could be restored to the White House. And there are questions about, certainly Democrats have raised the prospect of him taking vengeance against people he considers to be his political enemies. I think my question for you is, are you concerned if Donald Trump were to become president again, that you or aides to you during this time might be prosecuted or face additional consequences for what happened during the pandemic? Right.
Well, Casey, I don't know what one would prosecute me for. I mean, figure something out. What are we talking about? I mean, I was a public health official, a scientist. I played a major role in the development of the vaccine that was responsible for the saving of millions of lives. So if that's what you're accusing me of, then I'm definitely guilty of that. But I'm not sure what people talk about when they say prosecute for what. I mean, there was no crime there. There were just public health officials like myself and others who were on the team who would do.
I just told you what you can get prosecuted for. Let me go through the list again. Lying to Congress. Gain of function research funding. Using your personal Gmail to avoid the Freedom of Information Act. Colluding with big tech to censor people for spreading misinformation, as you deemed it. Lying to the American people about how the vaccines would stop the transmission of COVID, for example. How about all those things? I mean, you know, the fact that they still play this guy up as a saint and a martyr. I was saving people's lives. I was just part of the team saving lives. Look at me. I'm an innocent victim. Ah, it's
doing our best to save the lives of people in this country and worldwide. So, I mean, I don't want to be cavalier about it, but I don't even know what they're talking about.
I just told you what they're talking about. By the way, Fauci says he has no problems whatsoever with any of Tim Walz's response during COVID. Why would he? Tim Walz was a tyrant who locked people down in their homes, shut down businesses, and set up a hotline for you to be able to rat on your friends. You could rat on your friends and your neighbors. You could send emails to the state or leave a helpful voicemail message if somebody was violating the crowd capacity limits even on their private property. So what's there to criticize? The guy was a tyrant. He was one of the top tyrants during COVID. One of the top five. And he also killed people in nursing homes too. He also sent people to die in nursing homes. So what would Fauci have to criticize?
COVID, of course, is going to be part of attacks that are likely to be leveled by Republicans. The deep politicization of this is something that I know that you were deeply affected by, have thought a lot about in your time at the close of your time in public service. How do you evaluate how Minnesota handled the lockdowns and the questions around how to handle the COVID-19 pandemic as this issue perhaps becomes another issue in our presidential race?
You know, Casey, it's very difficult for someone from the outside to come in and pick apart how any particular state, city, or region handled it. But the one thing that was very clear that Minnesota was trying as best as possible to protect the lives and the safety with regard to exposure to and results from getting infected. They did what they felt was the correct thing to do according to recommendations that were coming from the public health authorities, that were coming from the CDC, that were coming from the various groups. So I have no criticism at all of that. I don't know all of the details of it, but from the time that I recall when I was in the White House as part of the coronavirus response team and the coronavirus task force, that we had no issue with what they were doing.
Why would you? You loved it. In fact, the guy was a model. Hey, your governor should be a tyrant too, just like Walz. Rat people out. Have a way for people to drop a dime on their neighbors and their friends. Send a handy email if somebody's not being good. Oh, please. The guy was a hero to you. All right, more to come in our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Kamala Harris continues to dodge the media, and even Senator John Fetterperson says you cannot ignore the fact Trump has a deep, strong connection with Pennsylvania. Don't go away.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tim Walz's claim that he carried weapons in war was deemed absolutely false by a CNN fact check. Will this kill him going forward? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT 855-839-1210. Great to be with you. In case you forgot what he said when he was speaking and going after the Second Amendment, this is a refresher of the lie that Tim Walz told.
If you did 5 weeks ago and Dad said, Dad, you're the only person I know who's in elected office. You need to stop what's happening with this. I'll take my kick in the butt for the NRA. I spent 25 years in the Army and I hunt. Yeah. And I gave the money back. And I'll tell you what I have been doing. I've been voting for common sense legislation that protects the Second Amendment. But we can do background checks. We can do CDC research. We can make sure we don't have reciprocal carry among states. And we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons are at.
Except you were never in war, as CNN fact checker has to acknowledge. He was never actually in war. Take a listen.
The second part of it, though, is this notion about the claim about being in actual combat. That's different. Walz did make a comment speaking to a group. He's done it a couple of times where he has used language that has suggested that he carried weapons in a fighting situation. As you know, with your contact with the military, I know from coming from a military family, there is a difference between being in a combat area, being involved at a time of war, and actually being in a position where people are shooting at you. There is no evidence that at any time Governor Walz was in a position of being shot at, and some of his language could easily be seen to suggest that he was. So that is absolutely false when he said that about gun rights out there. The campaign has essentially come forward to say, look, he had a long career. He would never want to purposely mislead people about this. It's what campaigns tend to say, and I'm sure we haven't heard the end of this, but it's an interesting argument that brings to mind past conflicts we've had in politics where military people start going at each other, and then you start saying, well, what is the basis for this? How much of it is true? And what are we to draw from that as voters?
He can't even help but acknowledge the fact that Waltz is lying. But a lot of the other people in the corporate media are trying to spin to cover for him, as you can imagine. Of course, the spin is on. It's what they do best, the corporate media. Over at Newsbusters, they have a couple of instances of the corporate media trying to scramble the cover for Waltz and even go after J.D. Vance in the process.
New rivals, Vance and Waltz, both veterans. Vance, who deployed to Iraq in the Marines and did not see any active fighting, going after Waltz's military background, accusing him of leaving his unit before it deployed to Iraq and lying about his service, seizing on this moment.
And we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons were at.
He has not spent a day in a combat zone. What bothers me about Tim Waltz is the stolen valor garbage. Do not pretend to be something that you're not.
Waltz served in the Army National Guard for 24 years and has never claimed to have seen active combat, despite those comments that he carried a gun in war. He retired honorably in 2005 to run for Congress as the crisis in Iraq was growing. The Harris campaign saying in a statement,
you know, I think it's even worse what they're trying to do, which is the spin to say, well, you know, he had objections to the Iraq war, so that's why he quit to run for Congress. Could you imagine if every service member had that mindset where if they don't like the conflict, they quit? If they don't believe they've sworn an oath to serve, and then they don't like the conflict or they don't agree with it, and they just quit. I often say the thing about what makes our military so amazing is that they don't question the politics. They go where they're told to go and fight because it's just how it has to be. I mean, if people in World War II did not at the time believe that America should be involved in a European conflict and chose not to serve, you know, not to serve because they didn't want to do that, would they be lauded in history as heroes? I would hope not. He abandoned his unit. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, look, even Van Jones is acknowledging this is a problem for him. Even Van Jones has to acknowledge this on Anderson Cooper. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, I think they should clean up. It's conceivable that he's been loose with his language or said stuff that doesn't, that's not, I mean, there's, people are human beings on these campaign trails. And so, but now he's running for a major position. If he needs to clean it up, clean it up. The reality is, if he said one or two things or said some things that turned out to be maybe a little bit too sloppy, fix it, because he's got a gazillion people who are willing to stand up for his character. He's got gay students who are willing to stand up for his character. He's got people he served with willing to stand up for his character. If this comes down to a character contest between this ticket and Donald Trump, we're going to win 50 states. So let's just get this cleaned up and move on.
How do you get it cleaned up and move on? The damage is already done. He's already told everybody that he carried a weapon of war in war, and he didn't. So it's absolutely a lie. How do you clean that up is my question. I mean, it's absolutely false that he did this, and CNN had to acknowledge that. And I'm telling you right now, you know, this is not going to go away. As much as they're trying to make it go away, it's not going to go away. There's too many people that have put their life on the line in war for them to turn around and say that this is no big deal. And what's the spin right now by the left? The spin is that he was in Italy. He was in Italy during Operation Enduring Freedom, so that counts as war. What? Huh? What? How does that work exactly? The command sergeant of the Minnesota National Guard said Tim Waltz subverted his duty. That's what he said. He subverted the chain of command, subverted his duty. And I'm sorry, but this issue, this ain't going away for him. I don't even know if he survives this.
Meanwhile, her running mate, Tim Walz, the governor, is defending his military service out on the campaign trail amid accusations of embellishing his title and dodging deployment. When Walz was running for governor back in 2018, two Minnesota National Guard vets, including our next guest, wrote a letter against Walz to a local paper saying, quote, "When the nation called, he quit. He failed his country, he failed his state, he failed the Minnesota Army National Guard and his fellow soldiers." So, right now, retired Command Sergeant Major Paul Herr joins us right now. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, a lot of people are talking about this, J.D. Vance compared it to stolen valor. You made the initial allegation back in 2018, so the story's been out there for a while. What about what he has said is wrong?
Well, he continually claims that he's a retired sergeant major. He's not. He's a retired master sergeant. We continue, you know, when the deployment first came up, we started having meetings as command sergeant majors and operations sergeant majors to collectively get our training facts together, because we were, you know, that's part of what we do as sergeant majors, is being subject matter experts in our fields and also responsible for the training of the soldiers that carry out the orders of the officers appointed over us to go into battle.
Right.
That's a pretty high priority for us. And he kind of consistently, we were aware of his campaign bid in some order or fashion, being that it was his first one. And he consistently told us as fellow sergeant majors at the time that he was going to, you know, go on the deployment. You could, as I remember him saying, you can count on us. And at the same time, having backroom conversations with other people, other entities inside the...
So you can count on us. Now, let me ask you a question. As this guy runs to be the vice president and says, you can count on me, and then people that serve with him said, but that's what he told us, and we couldn't count on him. We couldn't count on him. That's the bottom line. How does that play for Waltz going forward? Really, how does that play? I mean, I think it's disastrous. Because if the entire... Van Jones's point here is that we can't win on policy. Let's just break down what Van Jones is saying here. We can't win on policy. So we have to make this personality. This has to be a personality battle, otherwise we lose. And if we're going to talk about character, and now we got to deal with the fact that he's lying about stolen valor... That destroys the candidacy, because it destroys the whole image. It's like very reminiscent to me of Joe Biden in 2020. The whole idea that he was a nice old man hiding in his basement, keeping you safe from COVID and mean tweets. As we see that that is a bunch of BS, but you understand why they went into overdrive to cover for the Hunter Biden laptop, because it shows Joe Biden's corruption, that he was a swamp creature who got rich off of Washington, and it completely destroys the entire narrative, the entire facade, the whole thing gets destroyed by that. So based on that fact, if this is about character, and now you can show that Tim Walz's character is really coming into question here, because people who said that they wanted to count on the guy and were told that they could count on him say, couldn't count on him. How does that play for America? It doesn't. So now the nice Midwestern football coach dad doofus, that whole narrative goes right out the window. And he's just another opportunist who will say whatever he has to do to get ahead.
Minnesota National Guard to ensure that he could retire. He subverted the chain of command. He went around the chain of command. The brigade sergeant major had no clue. These are all important facts. And he did it to continually feather his own bed. That was the shameful part of it. And then, of course, he never entered into the Sergeant Major's Academy. He never did one scrap of work. It takes years. He signed a commitment letter saying that he was going to do that job. He didn't. Yeah. And he was stripped of that title when he left the Minnesota National Guard, yet he still claims to do it.
And stripped of the title, kept the title going, tried to hide that from everybody so that it would not become an issue. I'm just saying, I don't know. It looks to me like Tim Walz has run into a major, major Actually, let me rephrase that. He's never run into a landmine, because that would have involved him actually being in combat. Look, I'm not taking away the fact that the guy served, and he deserves credit for serving. But you can't go out there and say you're something that you're not. Because if you try to do that, and then you can be exposed that way, that's not going to work out well for you. Bottom line, it's not going to work out well. And that's the situation that Tim Walz is finding himself in right now. So let me know what you think. Will he be able to survive this onslaught? 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. As we continue along here, our fourth and final hour. So I want to remind you, Politics and Pints with Dom Giordano and Donald Trump Jr. coming up on September 12th. We will be back live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, on September 6th, Friday, September 6th, our first live show of the year. And I'm really looking forward to that. Really, really looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, one more clip on this whole issue of Waltz and his stolen valor. One more clip on this. Chris Hayes. And remember, you never see Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow in the same room at the same time, unless, of course, we're talking about CGI, like the way they have with, you know, dinosaurs. Here he is, desperately trying to firefight for Tim Walz and his embellished service.
But there's an experience that is even rarer among the tiny fraction of Americans who enlist. A much smaller share make a career of it, serving 20 years or more with multiple deployments. Only a tiny fraction of those fought to stay in the service after being disabled on the job. And one of them is Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, an enlisted soldier in the National Guard for nearly a quarter of a century. A journey that began on a Nebraska farm as soon as he was eligible to join.
My father served during Korean War, and the day
Nebraska
after
Nebraska farm, like he's a, like it's Field of Dreams, get it?
An Army National Guard recruiter, and I raised my hand and signed up.
That was in 1981. Ronald Reagan was president. Now, Walz continued to serve for the next 24 years under four commanders in chief. He spent most of that time as an artillery soldier, and it took a toll on his hearing. In fact, in 2002, after he'd already done 20 years, he qualified for retirement. A medical board considered discharging him because of his hearing impairment. Instead, he convinced them to let him complete his final enlistment, which began after 9/11. Walz achieved the highest enlisted rank in the Army, Command Sergeant Major. But rather than stay in and complete the schooling for that rank, Walz retired in 2005 at the rank of Master Sergeant. Party says because he wanted, at that point, to speak freely about political injustice, specifically the Iraq War. The following year, he was one of more than 60 anti-war veterans running for Congress.
So again, this is the argument, right? It's fine if you quit service if you don't agree with the conflict. It's John Kerry is what they're doing. It's John Kerry. Oh, you don't like the conflict? Well, then quit. I mean, at least Kerry went to Vietnam. But I don't believe for a second that Walz decided he was going to leave his unit behind and let them deploy to Iraq because he had a political problem with the conflict and wanted to run for Congress to do something about it. That is called spin. That is called spin to try to save Tim Walz. No doubt about it. But it is kind of funny, right? He joined these anti-war veterans. Just back that up just a sec. Thank you.
The following year, he was one of more than 60 anti-war veterans running for Congress as the Fighting Dems, a group that included Jim Webb, Patrick Murphy, and Tammy Duckworth.
So he's just like them. Got it? Except the only difference is that they actually went and many of them served in combat, and he did not, even though he told people he did. The stolen valor thing is not going away. Not going away at all. More to come. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Even John Fetterperson has to acknowledge Pennsylvania is Trump country. That's right. He doesn't want to do it, but he has to do it. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. And more allegations against Hunter Biden. The hits just keep coming with this guy, don't they? The hits just keep on coming. So Senator John Fetterperson was talking with Greta Van Susteren about the amazing connection that Donald Trump has with the people of Pennsylvania. And he's talking about it from the perspective of 2016. Well, guess what? That perspective is not changing going into 2024, not even close.
Well, when you look back in history of Pennsylvania, I think it goes back to 1992, it's always been a Democratic win, except 2016, when former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton lost to former President Trump, as you noted. Why did she lose? Is it only Erie?
Well, I think that happened is that Trump did. He created a strong connection with people in Pennsylvania. I mean, that's undeniable as well. And he created margins in those small rural counties that Romney wasn't able to create back in 2012 as well, in the 60s, maybe touching closer to 70. But Trump did that into the 80s, and that's allowed him to scale, and he won by only about 45,000 votes. And I would like to remind everybody that it seems incredibly unlikely that he can outperform his ceiling back in 2016, before a lot of the significant amount of baggage and things happened since then. And now I fundamentally believe that Harris is going to be able to carry Pennsylvania, regardless of whoever she has chosen to be her running mate as well, too. I think if you match up Trump and Harris, which I think that's really what that this is really about, and I do believe he's going to win Pennsylvania. And of course, it's going to be close, but I've been maintaining that whether it's Biden, whether it was Clinton, or whether now it's with Vice President Harris, it's going to be very close. And I do believe she's going to prevail.
Well, he has to say that. John Fetterperson has to say that. Now, he's taking a victory lap, and he torpedoed the chances of Josh Shapiro to become the running mate. So he's very happy about that fact. But let's be honest here, okay? Let's be honest. John Fetterperson knows damn well the struggles of people in Pennsylvania. He does. I mean, that was his whole thing. His entire thing was running to be the guy who understood the needs of the working people in PA. Here's one of those working people in Pennsylvania. And when you think about the fact that people right now are struggling, one of the areas in which you're struggling is to be able to buy a car. We hear about grocery prices a lot, but for some people that have to commute and their car breaks down or they're in business, this is a very big problem for them. And nobody's coming to bail out their auto loans. You know, they may have student loan forgiveness because the left doesn't care, obviously, about anything else except for trying to bribe college kids, woke college kids. So they're angering working class people. They're angering working class people because working class people who have to deal with the pain of life and the actual fact that things are expensive and nobody's coming to help them. Well, here's a Eugene's Auto. It's a Philadelphia guy, Eugene's Auto. People can't afford cars anymore. Nothing above 15 grand is moving. Take a listen.
Alan Sidler, the guy who owns this dealership, says people these days just cannot afford more expensive vehicles, new or used. Listen.
Previously, we were able to sell a lot more vehicles that were higher priced, maybe around 20, 30, 40 grand. People were coming in buying, you know, Escalades, Chevy Tahoes, Maseratis, you know, all kinds of vehicles. Now, most of my customer base is any vehicle from 5 to 15,000. Anything that's above 15,000 really just sits on a lot.
Anything that's above 15,000 just sits on the lot. It's tough out there for people. It really is. It's tough. And then so you got to ask yourself, as they're trying to hide Kamala Harris right now, and they're doing everything they possibly can to hide her. Trump gives this big, long press conference today. Talked about it a lot during the show, obviously. So Charlamagne the God sits in on Comedy Central. And Charlamagne the God makes a joke about Kamala Harris, but it's actually pretty true. And then there's two parts to this that I want to analyze here. You always say that things are funny because they're true. There's always truth and humor, and there's humor and truth, and those two things go along well together. So this is what he said last time.
For the sake of argument, let's suppose Kamala was given a chance because of her identity. She still had to do something with it on her own. And Kamala has done a great job as vice president. Remember that one big thing she did? Me neither, okay? And that's exactly what you want in a VP, someone who doesn't make the news. A VP is like a carbon monoxide detector. You want to have one, but if it makes any noise, something's gone wrong.
Okay, it's very funny. I got it. But it's also part of the media's attempts right now to pretend like she had nothing to do with Joe Biden and the administration. So be very clear here. This is deliberate. The idea that she did nothing, and that's a good thing, i.e. she wasn't the border czar. So this is the corporate media now trying desperately to distance themselves from anything that would tie Kamala Harris to this administration, to purge the record that Kamala Harris was a border czar. trying so hard to make it the thing where we all have to pretend like don't believe your lying eyes. And the New York Times is one of the earliest in an article published on July 17th during the RNC titled Why Republicans Keep Calling Kamala Harris the Border Czar. Reporters Jasmine Ulloa and Nicholas Nehemias Huft, Republicans at their national convention this week have trained some of their most intense criticism on Vice President Kamala Harris. But perhaps no phrase has been deployed more than this one, Border Czar. But Ms. Harris was not, in fact, appointed Border Czar, nor was she tasked with addressing the broader problems plaguing the border itself. They then try to split hairs by adding, rather, she was deputized by President Biden with the diplomatic mission of solving the root causes of migration. Got it? You know, like climate change. Axios's framing was arguably the most ridiculous. In a Wednesday article lamenting how Harris border confusion haunts her new campaign, reporter Steph Knight proclaimed the Trump campaign and Republicans have tagged Harris repeatedly with the title Border Czar, which she never actually had. But the own reporting contradicts that framing. President Biden is putting Vice President Harris in charge of addressing the migrant surge at the U.S.-Mexico border, senior administration officials announced on Wednesday. That was in an article simply titled, quote, Biden puts Harris in charge of border crisis. Axios was majorly bodied on Twitter, as the community notes called them out for referring to Harris as the border czar in their own articles. The number of unaccompanied minors crossing the border has reached crisis levels. Harris, appointed by Biden as border czar, said she would be looking at the root causes that drive migration. So embarrassing, in fact, was the shellacking that Axios took on social media. They had to issue an editor's note to the article. Here's what the editor's note said. Editor's note, this article has been updated and clarified to note that Axios was among the news outlets that incorrectly labeled Harris a border czar back in 2021. They are so desperate to save face here for Kamala Harris that they're willing to go back and call themselves liars. Time magazine got in on the action with an article from Vera Bergurian, brazenly titled, Kamala Harris was never Biden's border czar. Here's what she really did. She lamented the infamous soundbite of Harris telling Guatemalans do not come and decried the border czar title as a misleading label they applied after she was charged with helming diplomatic efforts to address the root causes of migration from Central America to the United States. In June of 2021, CNN senior national correspondent Ed Lavandera repeated the framing of Harris's border czar by saying, quote, the vice president is expected to visit El Paso in about an hour and a half, and this will be her first visit to the U.S.-Mexico border region since she was appointed as the border czar by President Biden. Journalists were using the same language as recently as last week during the ABC live coverage of the RNC, or a couple weeks ago. Anchor Kanye Whitworth remarked that the speakers were very critical of Kamala Harris, especially in her role as border czar. Politico's whining about the border czar label dates back to when Harris was appointed border czar. In fresher gripes about Republicans from over the weekend, they reported, quote, despite insisting that she has not made the face of the administration's border policies, Harris was tasked with stemming migration from Central American countries. That prompted Republican attacks on her as border czar, a narrative the White House did little to combat. They also had this headline. During the Republican National Convention last week, many speakers labeled Harris as the border czar since Biden appointed her to take the lead on working with Central America to deter migration at the southern border. So this is the thing. They're trying so hard to spin this, and you're going to keep seeing Kamala Harris hide. You're going to keep seeing her hide. And the only reason why you're seeing these big rallies is because, like I told you yesterday, they're bringing in big stars, country music stars, local acts. They're bringing in big names to perform for free. And then when the people are done singing, people then tend to get up and leave. As exactly what happened when they had, what's her name, sing last week at the at one of Kamala Harris's events, Megan Thee Stallion, yes, in Atlanta. But here's Morning Joe gushing over the rallies, gushing.
People like getting so overheated at rallies or in audiences and needing water. You know where that happens? at Adele concerts, at Taylor Swift concerts. That's like, you get them on Instagram. You see those moments where Adele is like, stop, stop, please, let's get this person some water. And Tim Walz literally did that yesterday because somebody needed water and it was trending as the.
And it was trending. You see that? It was trending. Because the only reason people are going is because they're doing political rallies and they have big named concert people to come get people in the seats. Just like they did in 2016 with Hillary Clinton when they had fake farmer Bruce Springsteen in the EIEIO band and fake farmer Bon Jovi perform a free concert in Philadelphia the night before the election. And Hillary Clinton still lost. All right, have a great rest of your night tonight. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. I'm back with you tomorrow. I know it's a Friday, but I'll be here. Enjoy the rest of your night. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Even John Fetterperson has to acknowledge Pennsylvania is Trump country. That's right. He doesn't want to do it, but he has to do it. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. And more allegations against Hunter Biden. The hits just keep coming with this guy, don't they? The hits just keep on coming. So Senator John Fetterperson was talking with Greta Van Susteren about the amazing connection that Donald Trump has with the people of Pennsylvania. And he's talking about it from the perspective of 2016. Well, guess what? that perspective is not changing going into 2024, not even close.
Well, when you look back in history of Pennsylvania, I think it goes back to 1992, it's always been a Democratic win, except 2016, when former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton lost to former President Trump, as you noted. Why did she lose? Is it only Erie?
Well, I think that happened is that, Trump created a strong connection with people in Pennsylvania. I mean, that's undeniable as well. And he created margins in those small rural counties that Romney wasn't able to create back in 2012 as well. In the 60s, maybe touching closer to 70, but Trump did that into the 80s, and that's allowed him to scale, and he won by only about 45,000 votes. And I would like to remind everybody that it seems incredibly unlikely that he can outperform his ceiling back in 2016 before a lot of the significant amount of baggage and things happened since then. And now I fundamentally believe that Harris is going to be able to carry Pennsylvania, regardless of whoever she has chosen to be her running mate as well, too. I think if you match up Trump and Harris, which I think that's really what that this is really about, and I do believe he's going to win Pennsylvania. And of course, it's going to be close, but I've been maintaining that whether it's Biden, whether it was Clinton, or whether now it's with Vice President Harris, it's going to be very close, and I do believe she's going to prevail.
Well, he has to say that. John Fetterperson has to say that. Now, he's taking a victory lap that he torpedoed the chances of Josh Shapiro to become the running mate. So he's very happy about that fact. But let's be honest here, okay? Let's be honest. John Fetterperson knows damn well the struggles of people in Pennsylvania. He does. I mean, that was his whole thing. His entire thing was running to be the guy who understood the needs of the working people in PA. Here's one of those working people in Pennsylvania. And when you think about the fact that people right now are struggling, one of the areas in which you're struggling is to be able to buy a car. We hear about grocery prices a lot, but for some people that have to commute and their car breaks down or they're in business, this is a very big problem for them. And nobody's coming to bail out their auto loans. You know, they may have student loan forgiveness because the left doesn't care, obviously, about anything else except for trying to bribe college kids, woke college kids. So they're angering working class people. They're angering working class people because working class people who have to deal with the pain of life and the actual fact that things are expensive and nobody's coming to help them. Well, here's a Eugene's Auto. It's a Philadelphia guy, Eugene's Auto. People can't afford cars anymore. Nothing above 15 grand is moving. Take a listen.
Alan Sidler, the guy who owns this dealership, says people these days just cannot afford more expensive vehicles, new or used. Listen.
Previously, we were able to sell a lot more vehicles that were higher priced, maybe around 20, 30, 40 grand. People were coming in buying, you know, Escalades, Chevy Tahoes, Maseratis, you know, all kinds of vehicles. Now, most of my customer base is any vehicle from 5 to 15,000. Anything that's above 15,000 really just sits on a lot.
Anything that's above 15,000 just sits on the lot. It's tough out there for people. It really is. It's tough. And then so you got to ask yourself, as they're trying to hide Kamala Harris right now, and they're doing everything they possibly can to hide her. Trump gives this big, long press conference today. Talked about it a lot during the show, obviously. So Charlamagne the God sits in on Comedy Central. And Charlamagne the God makes a joke about Kamala Harris, but it's actually pretty true. And then there's two parts to this that I want to analyze here. You always say that things are funny because they're true. There's always truth and humor, and there's humor and truth, and those two things go along well together. So this is what he said last night.
For the sake of argument, let's suppose Kamala was given a chance because of her identity. She still had to do something with it on her own. And Kamala has done a great job as vice president. Remember that one big thing she did? Me neither, okay? And that's exactly what you want in a VP, someone who doesn't make the news. A VP is like a carbon monoxide detector. You want to have one, but if it makes any noise, something's gone wrong. Okay?
Okay, it's very funny. I got it. But it's also part of the media's attempts right now to pretend like she had nothing to do with Joe Biden and the administration. So be very clear here. This is deliberate. The idea that she did nothing, and that's a good thing, i.e. she wasn't the border czar. So this is the corporate media now trying desperately to distance themselves from anything that would tie Kamala Harris to this administration, to purge the record that Kamala Harris was a border czar. They're trying so hard to make it the thing where we all have to pretend like don't believe your lying eyes. And the New York Times is one of the earliest in an article published on July 17th during the RNC titled "Why Republicans Keep Calling Kamala Harris the Border Czar." Reporters Jasmine Ulloa and Nicholas Nehamis Hoft, Republicans at their national convention this week, have trained some of their most intense criticism on Vice President Kamala Harris. But perhaps no phrase has been deployed more than this one, border czar. But Ms. Harris was not, in fact, appointed border czar, nor was she tasked with addressing the broader problems plaguing the border itself. They then try to split hairs by adding, rather, she was deputized by President Biden with the diplomatic mission of solving the root causes of migration. Got it? You know, like climate change. Axios's framing was arguably the most ridiculous. In a Wednesday article lamenting how Harris border confusion haunts her new campaign, reporter Steph Knight proclaimed the Trump campaign and Republicans have tagged Harris repeatedly with the title border czar, which she never actually had. But the own reporting contradicts that framing. President Biden is putting Vice President Harris in charge of addressing the migrant surge at the U.S.-Mexico border, senior administration officials announced on Wednesday. That was in an article simply titled, quote, "Biden puts Harris in charge of border crisis." Axios was majorly bodied on Twitter as the community notes called them out for referring to Harris as the border czar in their own articles. The number of unaccompanied minors crossing the border has reached crisis levels. Harris, appointed by Biden as border czar, said she would be looking at the root causes that drive migration. So embarrassing, in fact, was the shellacking that Axios took on social media. They had to issue an editor's note to the article. Here's what the editor's note said. Editor's note, this article has been updated and clarified to note that Axios was among the news outlets that incorrectly labeled Harris a border czar back in 2021. They are so desperate to save face here for Kamala Harris that they're willing to go back and call themselves liars. Time magazine got in on the action with an article from Vera Bergorian, brazenly titled, "Kamala Harris Was Never Biden's Border Czar." Here's what she really did. She lamented the infamous soundbite of Harris telling Guatemalans, "Do not come," and decried the border czar title as a misleading label they applied after she was charged with helming diplomatic efforts to address the root causes of migration from Central America to the United States. In June of 2021, CNN senior national correspondent Ed Lavandera repeated the framing of Harris's border czar by saying, quote, "The vice president is expected to visit El Paso in about an hour and a half, and this will be her first visit to the U.S.-Mexico border region since she was appointed as the border czar by President Biden." Journalists were using the same language as recently as last week during the ABC live coverage of the RNC, or a couple weeks ago. Anchor Kanye Whitworth remarked that the speakers were very critical of Kamala Harris, especially in her role as border czar. Politico's whining about the border czar label dates back to when Harris was appointed border czar. In fresher gripes about Republicans from over the weekend, they reported, quote, "Despite insisting that she has not made the face of the administration's border policies, Harris was tasked with stemming migration from Central American countries. That prompted Republican attacks on her as border czar, a narrative the White House did little to combat." They also had this headline. During the Republican National Convention last week, many speakers labeled Harris as the border czar since Biden appointed her to take the lead on working with Central America to deter migration at the southern border. So this is the thing. They're trying so hard to spin this, and you're going to keep seeing Kamala Harris hide. You're going to keep seeing her hide. And the only reason why you're seeing these big rallies is because, like I told you yesterday, they're bringing in big stars, country music stars, local acts. They're bringing in big names to perform for free. And then when the people are done singing, people then tend to get up and leave. As exactly what happened when they had, what's her name, sing last week at the, at one of Kamala Harris's events, Megan Thee Stallion, yes, in Atlanta. But here's Morning Joe gushing over the rallies, gushing.
People like getting so overheated at rallies or in audiences and needing water. You know where that happens? At Adele concerts, at Taylor Swift concerts. That's like, you get them on Instagram. You see those moments where Adele is like, stop, stop, please, let's get this person some water. And Tim Walz literally did that yesterday because somebody needed water and it was trending as the.
And it was trending. You see that? It was trending. Because the only reason people are going is because they're doing political rallies and they have big named concert people to come get people in the seats. Just like they did in 2016 with Hillary Clinton when they had fake farmer Bruce Springsteen in the EIEIO band and fake farmer Bon Jovi perform a free concert in Philadelphia the night before the election. And Hillary Clinton still lost. All right, have a great rest of your night tonight. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. I'm back with you tomorrow. I know it's a Friday, but I'll be here. Enjoy the rest of your night. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.